To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Hey, sorry, I'm used to reading this in person. Zoom is also non-smoking, unless you're at your own house and smoke away. Our group is moving on. Newcomers, is there anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Any newcomers on Zoom? Not seeing any. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing step 12. Please welcome our panel this evening, Dave H. and Tyler S. I will put the paragraphs up on the screen and I will read the first set of paragraphs. All right, let me get those up. This will be the first part of, there we go. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Section 1, page 89, for anybody that wants to follow along in their book. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with alcoholics, other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our life. All right, Dave or Tyler, which of you would like to go first?
I'm getting the finger. I guess that means I got to go first.
Go for it, buddy.
Howdy, I'm Tyler, an alcoholic. And I want to start with saying I'm really grateful that I was asked to come and speak tonight. So I am an alcoholic, and I've been, my sobriety date's August 5th, 2019. By the grace of God, I've not had a hangover since then. I have a sponsor. He knows he's my sponsor. I have a home group. I have the privilege and the honor and the delight to sponsor other men. And as we're going to talk about later, I think I haven't been entirely successful with that, but that's okay. So I'll share on what we read so far. Practical experience shows nothing will ensure immunity from drinking. That's one of the many reasons I do this program is I don't have to worry about drinking. I'm immune. If I follow this program, and I intensively work with other alcoholics. Carry this message to alcoholics is right there. I am able to help where no one else can. I was about 2 months sober against my will. And I had the opportunity to be interviewed by a trained physician about how much I drank. And in the past, prior to this, I filled out many forms. I was in the Navy. Whenever I went to the medical clinics and, you know, for whatever checkups I was getting my shots, And most of those little questionnaires I'd fill out, I think every year or so, had a block saying, do you smoke? How much do you drink? I was never once honest on those things, never in my entire life. But when I go to the car mechanic, because my car is making a funny noise or the check engine light's on or whatever, I'm honest with them. I tell them, hey, I know I have these symptoms. I think it's this issue because I want my car fixed. But when I go to the doctor, I lie. Why do I even do that? I care about my car more than I care about myself, obviously. Doctors are extremely trained. They go through so much training and so much schooling. But if you give the car mechanic bad information, you tell them the problems in the brakes when the problem's actually in the transmission, they're not going to be able to help you. But you can't, I'm gonna curse, I'm sorry. You can't bullshit a bullshitter is what I've heard before. And I think it's pretty true. And me being an alcoholic, I know what it means to drink when you don't want to drink, to not have any control, not have any say, to get drunk at the wrong time, to get too drunk at the wrong time, to get too drunk literally all the time, to be a burden on your friends and your family and your coworkers. One of my favorite activities is going on drunken adventures and making my friends play Where's Tyler? Talk about selfish. That's fun to me. That's an adventure to me, is making my friends and my family, my coworkers worry. So when I get to meet new people in the program, I'm thrilled because I get to remember that they're very ill. I met somebody just Sunday. Yeah, just yesterday, 20 days sober. And that lit me up. That meeting was fantastic. Because I see in them the hurt. I see in them the pain that I was going through. Because when I was 20 days sober, I didn't have any of that. I was all alone on a steel can under the ocean with 100 and some odd people that I knew more than probably most of you people, my people. You guys are my people. And I felt totally alone. But I walk into this meeting and I see somebody I have never met before say that they're an alcoholic with 20 days sober. And I feel like I know them pretty intimately. Because I don't even remember their name. But I do remember how they were feeling. Because I used to feel that way. And since I've taken these steps, not perfectly, and I wouldn't even say well, all of this list of things that they say gets to happen, it's happened for me. I have more friends in my now broken phone's contact list that have AA next to their name than not. It's crazy how many honest, real friends I get to make in this program. And not even that, but I get to make real friends outside this program because I get to be more present. I could go on and on about how true these two paragraphs have come true for me. Thanks to this program. Thanks to suggestions from my sponsors and other people in AA. But I won't babble on too much. That's all I got for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
And I want to point out that was the index finger that I gave you. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of the New Day Group in Virginia Beach. Sobriety dates July 14th, 2002. I'm really grateful to be here. I love this group. I love this format. Thanks for having me. As most of y'all know, I like to tell stories of my experience when we do these things. So you may have heard some of them, but you might hear some again. So, but this first one about practical experience showing that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And we're talking about the 12th step, which, you know, kind of primarily focuses on one-on-one work, but there are a lot of ways to do that through, you know, taking meetings to treatment center or corrections facilities or doing the phone watch. And one thing that we did when I was about a year and a half sober and I was in my first AA relationship, you know, and I thought, you know, it was going great. And I thought it was going with the white picket fence and God had brought us together in AA and all of that was going on in my head. And it did go well for a good while, but yeah, New Day started in April of 2002 and I started going there in October 2002 and it was only a 7:30 a.m. meeting at that time, About 6 months into that relationship, I was at the very first 6 p.m. meeting we had. We decided we were going to have a 6 p.m. meeting as well. And I was there and I got a phone call and I stepped outside before the meeting and she broke up with me over the phone. But, you know, and it hurt, but I was at the meeting, you know, I was where I was supposed to be. And I'm grateful for that. And, but, you know, I hold on to things still. And so about Saturday, I'm at home and I'm by myself and I'm boohooing and I'm praying, God help me, which really meant God bring her back, you know. And all of a sudden the phone rings and it's this fella. You know, I thought it was her, of course, that God had had her call me, but it was this fella that my sponsor and I and two other of his sponsees have been taking a meeting to for at his house for 6 months on Sunday night because he had a bracelet on. He couldn't go out and he didn't have a license or anything. So we took this meeting over there every day, every Sunday for 6 months. And it was him on the phone and he said, look, my wife's out of town and kids and I'm all alone. Would you come over and have hamburgers with me? And, you know, that saved me. That saved me because I don't know if I'd have drank, but I, you know, it took me out of myself. It gave me another alcoholic to hang out with. I went over there and we enjoyed ourselves. And, you know, there are many stories like that, but I just wanted to share that one with you that, you know, sometimes you can see where it actually worked the way it says in the book. And then the second paragraph, I mean, that's one of my favorite passages. There's nothing like watching somebody get sober, come in, you know, shuffling, head down, looking at the floor, just like me, you know, can barely hear them when they talk. And, you know, as time goes on, they start standing up a little straighter and their shoulders lift up and there's a glint in their eye. And then they start to speak and share their experience, strength and hope. And it's just so much fun to watch. And, you know, the 12th step, it's the payoff, you know, it's at the end and you do all that other work and then you get to share it. And that's how we enlarge our spiritual life. You know, it says we have to keep enlarging it and that's how we do it. And I'm just so grateful for, you know, the opportunity to do that and the people that God has put in my path along the way and that have helped me so much. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I'll put up the next section of readings. All right, section 2, page 91. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. All right, Tyler?
Hi to Tyler, alcoholic. So this has given me a direction to how to speak to someone. I wish I had this when I was like in middle school because I was pretty awkward dude back then. Still am, but I got a little better. So when I met my first sponsor, I didn't realize that this is kind of what he was doing. One of the first things he said to me was just, you know, just tell me a little bit about yourself. And I'm a pretty goofy dude. So I told him all my fun stories and then he told me some of his. And as we worked together, we had some very serious conversations and very serious conversations. So I had very serious conversations and very late conversations as well. And all he was doing is getting to know me. And when I was pretty early in sobriety, I would do the same thing with other newcomers. You know, I got, you know, 6 months, 7 months, a year here or whatever. And I would just make eye contact and offer a handshake to new people and just see how they're doing. Because that was what I was told to do, even though I wasn't ready to sponsor people yet. I was trying to be a welcoming face. Because when I got into the program, I was hurting so bad. Just thinking about something or having a conversation was just miraculous. Because I felt so alone in my own skin. You know, I felt like even though I was in a room full of people, I didn't even know if I fit in. So my first go around with AA wasn't glamorous. Long story short, I peeked on a cop. It's not a good time. The night up until then was pretty fun, but that bought me a week-long trip to rehab light. Navy calls it impact. So I was snowed in Groton, Connecticut, and they sent me to one AA meeting in addition to a bunch of classroom environment lectures and useless stuff. And all I remember from that meeting is two things. One, some lady in this boring church up in Groton, Connecticut was talking about how much meth she did and how much her kids didn't want to talk to her, but at least she's sober today. And like, okay, you're a weird lady. And the second thing I remember is I was about to leave there. This older gentleman handed me a meeting guide for the area. And I told him, hey, I'm not from here. I'm just visiting. He says, hey, I want you to have this anyway in case you want to check another meeting. You're more than welcome here. I said, okay. What I thought was, leave me alone, weirdo. But he did make me feel welcome. You know, I felt out of place. And he came to me after the meeting, but he still made an effort. And it took me some time to actually remember that. I was in the program for a few months by the time I actually, this few years later when I actually got into the program, when I actually remembered that and I got to learn from it. And in the program, I get to learn from small interactions every day. You know, I'll say the wrong thing here and I'll make somebody feel uncomfortable because I thought it was funny. But today I get to have a remedy for that. It's called a 10th step, which is another meeting, I suppose. Getting to know the newcomer, it takes a little bit of empathy, which is not something Tyler normally has. That's not my normal. That's not my default state. But thanks to working the steps and maintaining that spiritual conditioning and developing that relationship with the higher power, thinking about others just becomes natural. Back when I was drinking, the only person I cared about was me. How much fun was I having? How am I going to get out of this one? Those were my dominating thoughts. Nowadays, my dominating thoughts are, man, what the hell are they going through? Do they know where the bathroom is? Do they know where the coffee is? Little things like that. And it's baffling to me. It's not normal to me still. I've been sober for a little over 4 years and it's still weird. I catch myself like, wow, I actually went out of my way to do that. I suppose that's all I got. I'm just grateful that this program and everybody else in it has helped me to learn how to be a more useful, a more wholesome, a more empathetic person. Because that's not my normal. Usually when I'm empathetic, it's usually because I want you to see how good I am. And, you know, maybe you can give me something too. Whether it's working with me better or just treat me better or... I don't know, be my friend. Now I don't even have to like put effort into that. I just show up and try to be a decent person. And I'm invited out to things now and I'm asked to man the grill now. And I'm, my calendar is full of engagements and service opportunities and meetings I get to go to that I'm delighted to go to. Last week I got sick and I was stuck in my house for about a week and I was going stir crazy. I was like, oh, I want to go be with my people. So yesterday I got to go out for the first time in a while. And I gave somebody a ride to a meeting and I was buzzing. I was like, oh, yeah, it's great to hang out with people again. Whereas once upon a time, I would have been buzzing if I get to like, oh, yeah, I don't got to go out anymore. I can just hang out in my house all day. It's just weird. And I love it. That's all I got.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. And reading this and a lot of this, you know, they were doing a lot of traditional 12-step calls back then. In my sober time, I've been on a handful of 12-step calls. And most of those were people that I already knew from the rooms, you know, that had relapsed or whatever. But this stuff still works, you know, and it works before the meeting and after the meeting, or God forbid they call me, you know. And I know my first sponsor, I asked him to be my sponsor over the phone because he was somebody else's sponsor. And I just grabbed the phone and said, hey, will you be my sponsor? But anyway, he he said, call me every night. And I was like, every night? Isn't that a little excessive? You know, I didn't like the phone. It was always trouble. So, but I did it because I was scared to ask anybody else, you know, so fear worked for me in that instance. But I found out that he wasn't peppering me with questions. I didn't have to spill my guts every night. You know, we just kept it in the day and we talked about what meeting we gone to and what the topic was and, you know, things like that. He kept it very centered on AA and very simple. And I try to do the same thing when I'm talking to somebody new. You know, like it says here, focus on myself and tell them about some of my stuff. And, you know, if they say something with a hint of identification or ask a question and it starts to be a little bit of a give and take, all the better, you know. And but, you know, I do try to keep in mind that we're the only, you know, we may be the, at least not the only, but the first example of the big book they'll see or talk to. And, you know, let them know what it's done for me, because it has done so much I could never repay it all. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't try, you know. So I'm grateful for that all these guys figured this out so long ago, and I don't have to, because Lord knows I wouldn't have been able to. But it does work and still does, you know. So anyway, thanks.
Thanks, Dave. All right, I'll put the next reading up. All right, section 3, also page 91. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is an alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't, at this stage, refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. All right, Tyler?
All right, Tyler, alcoholic. My first sponsor came up to me 5 months sober, and he asked me to be his sponsor, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm sorry for cursing. Yeah, let's do it. I was pretty excited. I asked him the 3 questions my sponsor asked me. I asked him, are you an alcoholic? He said, yeah. He knew. So I didn't have to convince him. I asked him, are you willing to go to any lengths over alcohol? He said, yeah. I also said, yeah. And then I asked him, what time can you call me every day? And he told me, and my first sponsor, he asked me the same questions I told him. So for me, finding people that are really alcoholics, sometimes it's not so hard. Sometimes it is. I've had another sponsee tell me that he wasn't quite sure if he was an alcoholic. And I said, all right, well, this program works if you work it. So if you want to have victory over alcohol, this will do it for you. If you're not quite sure you're an alcoholic, you don't want to do this, you don't got to. I was told very early on to not call anybody an alcoholic and not brand anybody that, because this is a program you got to do yourself. So one of my first sponsees that decided he wasn't quite sure if he was an alcoholic. I saw him once or twice after that, but I haven't seen him since, and I hope he's doing all right. Another person who was not quite sure if he was an alcoholic went back out. He said meth is his problem. I said, well, maybe it is. It goes beyond my expertise. I've never really done that kind of stuff. But I heard recently, he texted me, he said he was 60 days sober. And as soon as I heard that, I jumped. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Because I remember I didn't recognize it. I didn't reply right away. But as soon as I saw that, I was just glowing. And all I did was show up at meetings and talk with him some and give him a few suggestions that he didn't really follow, which is okay. To hear he's doing well, that lit me up. If he is not, but insists if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. When I read that, I wasn't too happy. I'm sorry, one of my sponsor insisted that that might be true. I was not very happy because I like to think I'm a pretty powerful, pretty willful, pretty capable person, despite heaps of evidence to the contrary, especially to the whole drinking thing. Because like I said earlier, I drank when I didn't want to drink. I drank when I shouldn't have been drinking. I drank when I could not have been drinking. But I'm not powerless. I got this. My current sponsor clued me in that the phrase "I got this" is a pretty big alarm. That's when people tend to be taking their will back and try and do this stuff on their own. I'm making a very strong effort not to curse too much. So if I'm stuttering over my words a little bit, that might be part of it. A good friend of mine in the program said that. And he didn't go back out, but he was stumbling quite a bit. And luckily I got to hear him say things like, well, you know, now I pray, now I do things like calling my sponsor and calling other people in the program. And seeing that fills me with joy as well. That I got this is real dangerous, especially for me. I think that every now and again. And I get reminded that I don't got this when I meet newcomers who are 20 days sober or something like that, and they're hurting. And I get to remember that's where I was. And I get to remember that this disease is a progressive one. And I don't want to put my book away. And if I step away and I rest on my laurels, I lighten up on my daily program, I'm going to pick up where I left off. And for my first sponsor, he relapsed after a bad day. After 5.5 years of sobriety, he was dead within a week. So I got that waiting for me. I'm sure that was related to what we were talking about. But I share those brave examples to newcomers and people who pick White Chips back up. Because this is life and death we're dealing with. I'm firmly convinced. And by the grace of God, there is a program that provides immunity against drinking. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. So, you know, hopefully after a few discussions like this and some talk back and forth that, you know, he may call, the newcomer may call me or ask me to sponsor him. And the first night I came to AA through a treatment center, and the first night we went to this little book study among the patients, and it just so happened they had gone all the way through the book and were at the doctor's opinion. And that was probably the most important piece of literature I've ever read, you know? And so if somebody wants to help, then that's where we start, you know? And we talk about the doctor's opinion, which has all of this in it, you know, the early experiences, then the inability to stop on our own, and the hopelessness. And, you know, I couldn't put all that into words when I got here, just how hopeless and miserable and lonely I was. It took several weeks of not drinking to even start to understand how sick I was and how, yeah, just lonely and miserable I was. But, you know, I start out asking them to read the doctor's opinion and write down 5 or 10 things that they identify with or don't agree with or don't understand. And that gives us some talking points. And all of this comes out in that process, you know, the physical craving, the mental obsession, the progression, all of that. And it's almost always just a, you know, a thrilling experience is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. You know, to watch people start to identify and to realize maybe there's a little hope here that they're not alone. I mean, I felt like I was so alone and I didn't know if I could do this. For a long time, I didn't know if I could do this, but I know you had done it. And so that gave me hope, you know. And, you know, if they want to continue, we just start doing the steps, you know. I got some worksheets. I do them the way my sponsor did them with me. Read a chapter, answer some short answer questions that we can you know, talk back and forth on. And, you know, I know I can never drink safely. And I'm just so grateful that people are here that want help, because I still need help. They help me so much, you know, it helps me to go through all this over and over, because I got a quick forgetter, of course. But anyway, that's enough for now. Thanks.
All right. Thank you both. Next section from page 92. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of mind and of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Express the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own conviction. Tyler?
Thank you very much. At first in the program, I didn't really totally agree that alcoholism was an illness. Is, you know, an illness is like a virus or cancer or something. Alcoholism isn't an illness. You're just, you know, weak. You can't control it because you suck. Because I look at my dad. My dad can't control it because he's weak. Because he sucks. That was my perception. And then I try to stop drinking. And then I kind of realize maybe I'm weak, maybe I suck. So I already had a pretty low self-image because I wasn't literally John Wayne and Bruce McClane rolled into one. I wasn't literally 6'10" and bulletproof. I wasn't a particularly good dancer either. I could do math, not really well. I couldn't do derivatives. So I had this glowing self-image that I just was never able to live up to. And then all of a sudden I can't drink. I love drinking. Drinking's awesome. When I drink, I am Bruce Wayne and John McClane. Yada, yada, yada. But here I am drinking every single day, irresponsible amounts, and I can't get that good feeling anymore. I kind of get a glimpse of it, but then it's fleeting. It just goes away. I get too drunk. And I cause problems. And then I become a problem everywhere I go, even if I'm not drinking, because, oh, there's that Tyler guy. He's a problem. And all of a sudden, I don't have any friends. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be me. I don't want to be alive. That's pretty unmanageable. That's pretty miserable. That's where I was. And so when somebody said that I was doomed, I knew that. But I had to get there. I had to get there to know that. And it was only then that I was really willing to even listen when somebody said anything about spirituality. Because spirituality to me was putting crystals to your forehead and going, it's bullshit. Oh, sorry for cursing again. That was my perception. That's my understanding of spirituality. These religious kooks, they're all idiots. They don't know nothing. I had so many prejudices. The first time in AA, I didn't hear anything. I didn't care. I didn't care that I was miserable, but I still drank. I got that. And then all of a sudden, I get in trouble again. And now I'm not supposed to drink, but I drink a little bit more. And then I stop drinking. And then, okay, I can do this. I can not drink for a while. So I go about 2 months, somewhat against my will, not drinking. And life is just the worst it's ever been. Work's worse. My family is even more stupid than they normally are. And every little thing is a capital offense. You know, I get cut off in traffic and I'm cursing for 5 minutes straight, speeding way too fast down Hampton. But I'm sober. But I'm miserable. And so I met this dude in rehab, because I got to go to rehab. And he tells me the solution is in the book. I got to read it. I'm like, okay, I can read a book. And I get to We Agnostics, and it says something about set aside your preconceived notions of religious terms and spiritual ideas. I'm like, oh, I guess. I said the phrase out loud to nobody else in my home. I was sitting on this exact chair at this exact desk. I said out loud to myself, I guess. Maybe there's something to this. I don't care. Let's just keep going. Because I just want to get through it, because that guy was happy. He had something I didn't have, and he lived a spiritual life, whatever that means. I guess he has crystals, and he's going, And then look at me today. I prayed this morning. I prayed before the meeting. I broke my phone, and I thank God for whatever lesson he's trying to teach me. I was walking home earlier today, and my phone battery looks like a thing of ravioli. It's all puffed up, so I got to get a new phone. It's a minor inconvenience to me. I would be freaking fuming if this happened to me a few years ago. But then I met this dude who wanted to be my sponsee, and I asked him, you know, after I got to know him and what kind of drinker he was, and once I was pretty sure he was ready to do this, we're on step one, we're getting through it and moving on to step two. And I asked him, all right, what's your conception of God? And he tells me, oh, I'm Catholic. I never worked with a Catholic guy before. My sponsor's Methodist. You know, this guy believes in Nirvana and stuff like that. He was talking about that. And all of a sudden, I got to work with a Catholic? What the hell do I do? Well, book talks about that. And then I met another guy and asked him what his conception of God was. And he went on a 15-minute long just rant about nothing. He talked and said a lot of words, but he didn't really say anything. And so I had no idea what his conception of God was, because I had no idea what the hell he said. But when I ask people what their idea of a higher power is, I don't even say God. I don't even say Christ. I don't even say Buddha, Allah, whatever. I just ask, what's your conception? And, you know, they tell me. And usually it, and sometimes, it's, you know, like I said, one guy was Catholic, but two other men, they said, well, I don't really know. I'm not even sure if there is a God. And I tell them, that's great. That's where I was. Because when I came in this program, I was firmly, like fedora tippingly atheist, you know, militantly. Luckily, I was willing at that point to do something that somebody else said and consider that I might not know everything. I don't know how to convince somebody that they don't know what they know. You know, if they have like some sort of preconceived notion that's inhibiting their progress through the steps and blocking their access to a higher power, I don't know how to fix that. I just tell them that they can have whatever conception they want, and they better get one, because that's how this program works. This is life and death, like I was saying. And luckily, developing that higher power isn't nearly as difficult as I thought it was going to be. My higher power, when I was reading step two the first time, is way different than my higher power is today. So luckily, my conception has grown and changed, and my relationship has grown and changed. I think for anybody, that can be true. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler. Dave, alcoholic. Tyler touched on a lot of good stuff there. He has the whole night. But I remember the first time I heard an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. It just hit me right here. You know, bam, that's me. You know, I was a big, happy, loud drunk for a long time, back slapping and, you know, willing to argue points that I'd lost long ago, but we can, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But inside, I was just scared to death and, you know, couldn't admit I was wrong or that I didn't know how to do something. And that just bound me up so much. And so, you know, when we read that doctor's opinion, I didn't really have any problem with it. I was glad I had a disease because, I mean, I'm in the mental institution. I obviously got something wrong with me. And it gave, that actually helped me tremendously because I didn't know what was wrong. I just knew that I had no idea how to live life, you know, and I was 42 years old, and all my friends and family seemed to know, but I couldn't ask anybody, right, because of that egomaniac with the inferiority complex, but But basically, yeah, I get stuck in this cocoon with you guys, and y'all teach me by going, you know, very simple. This is what worked for me. This didn't work for me. You know, going through the steps and letting me find out what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And then when it comes to the religion thing, I had all kinds of prejudice because, you know, I went to church as a kid and I was already breaking a lot of the rules, and all I heard was the hell and damnation part. And I didn't see the principles practiced at home. Now, you know, and I'm not a religious guy today, but I have great respect for religious people and for religion. I mean, we wouldn't have this without it. And, you know, but I did have, you know, I did have that hole in the donut feeling after I'd basically taken the first step that first night, reading the doctor's opinion. I went to a meeting, picked up a white chip, and but I had no idea how I was going to do that. And my sponsor helped me with that. He said, you know, you believe, we believe kind of thing. And he said, just substitute AA. We did steps 2 and 3 while I was still in treatment. I was there 3 months. And I came to believe that AA could restore me to sanity and turn my will and my life over to the care of AA, you know. And something that Tyler mentioned earlier, too, you know, with the doctor thing, he used the parallel there. He says, you know, you can't really give your will, you know, give your will to God because he gave it to you. You can't just say, take it back, right? Yeah. But we turn it over to the care of God. It's like we turn our health over to the care of a physician. We have to do what he wants us to do to, you know, to improve. And that's kind of the way it works in the third step for me, as my sponsor taught me. And of course, as I went through the steps, and today I have a higher power. It's not the one I grew up with, but I talk to him a lot, and he pretty much gives me the nudge whenever I need it, which is a lot. So thanks.
Thanks, Dave. All right, I'll put up the next reading. Page 94 again. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. All right, Tyler?
Thank you very much. I'll keep pretty brief on this one. I'll tell a quick story. I'll just say one of my 12-step calls I was on, I met this dude named Zach who couldn't, he just couldn't get it. He picked up a white chip on Thursday, saw me Monday. He was at a bar and I was across the street at the AA meeting. He came over and said, "Hey man, how's it going? I saw you, like, oh, God's working." They're like, "Okay, cool. Has a conception of God. That's great. What are we doing at the bar?" Like, "Oh, I was having a beer." Okay. many such adventures with this guy. Many, many white chips in his first span of time. He seemed pretty serious a week or two later. So I drove out to Smithfield to go pick him up where he was staying. And I brought him actually to Simple Actions. I brought him to this meeting in person. And on the car ride, I got to do more of that talk, and I learned a little bit more about him, and more about his background, more about his higher power, more about his powerlessness, yada, yada. And, you know, after the meeting, he says, "All right, well, I think I want to go to rehab." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Let's go." So he hopped in my car and we went. Went all the way out to Virginia Beach. Didn't quite work out. We didn't get him to a rehab center. It was pretty late at night. And he didn't have anything to give me for all my trouble. I said, "Hey, you're helping me out more than you know, man. It's all good. Right now, I don't feel like drinking. So you're doing a great job." But he insisted, and so I had a cigarette. So that's why my last cigarette was in, I guess, was that June or July? I don't remember. But I haven't had I've had one cigarette since like March, and that was it. And that's the same guy who I said, you know, couldn't get it, but all of a sudden he's got, what, 30 days, 60 days, I forget already. That's what it means to me when it says immunity from drinking. Because when I'm trying to help somebody out, when I'm inconvenienced, when I'm giving people a ride when I don't want to give them a ride, because I want to ride my skateboard at this meeting, but I got to give this jerk a ride. When I'm on the phone at 1 a.m., I don't really feel like drinking. And when I get off those phone calls, when I get done with those trips, it's not too satisfying sometimes, immediately. But like it says right there, perhaps you meet a friend. Perhaps you spread the word. And in those instances, I'm pretty far from a drink, I think. And that's the whole immunity from drinking thing to me. That's all I got.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler. There's no question I can't stay sober without working with others. Whether it's working with my sponsor or people that I'm sponsoring or you guys or wherever it is, you know, I need alcoholics in my life. I need to be part of this thing. I'm often reminded it's not working on others, it's working with others. You know, I don't really have any qualifications for the working on others. But working with others, I have a lot of experience with drinking and with getting sober, you know, and being part of this. And that's what I have to offer. That's my biggest asset, as the book says. And, you know, if somebody comes to me and they want to switch sponsors, I'm happy for them. You know, I want them to get sober. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and it doesn't always work out, you know, but I've never fired anybody that I can recall. I have fired myself, though. If it's obviously not working, I will suggest that they try some, you know, give them somebody to talk to. Because again, I may not be the right person for that person, it's unbelievable that I'm sitting here right now talking about this kind of stuff with where I was before I got here and how fortunate and grateful I am. And, you know, the greatest joy, though, is it's working with others. I said it earlier. It's just so great to watch somebody getting sober or to have I learned how to have honest conversations in AA and how to, you know, have relationships in AA, whether they're work relationships, romantic relationships, family relationships, all of that has improved as a result of me being here. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. All right, I'll put up the last reading for the evening. Page 96. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. All right, Tyler.
Thank you very much. Do not be discouraged. I'm fairly easily discouraged. I'm a bit of a lazy perfectionist, but things don't go my way right away. Let's try something else. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't get that way so much when working with others, but when people ask me to be their sponsor, I'm pretty all in, because I want to help others, you know. But I know better than to read the book to them. Luckily, all my sponsees so far have been able to read. I know that is an issue. And if I did run into somebody who had difficulties reading, I'd be more than happy to help them read. But what I mean to say is I'm not going to spoon feed people sobriety. That's not quite how it works. When people tell me what to do, my instinct is to put up a defense. I have four older sisters, so I'm not a huge fan of being manipulated. Sometimes it's a detriment. My initial reaction when people ask me for help getting sober, I don't get that reaction. It never even crosses my mind. It's difficult for me to. One sponsee I had that he said he wasn't quite sure if he was an alcoholic. I really wanted to try to convince him, but we just read the book for what it was. You know, I explained some things to him, some concepts. And we read that part of chapter 3, which talks about the quote unquote real alcoholic. And that was it. And then I called my sponsor later on. It's like, hey, this guy said he's not quite sure. What do you recommend? And I told him what I did. And he says, yeah, well, sounds like he's not quite sure. And I was furious. How dare I not get to enact the master plan of AA and exact my higher power's will? Because I know what it is. It's my will. It's the proper use of the will, right? But if I keep hounding on that guy, I know for a fact. I guess I take that back. I don't know for a fact, but I'm fairly certain. If he's like me, he's not going to react well. Because being told what to do is it's poison. I don't like it. It's emasculating. You know, I like to have that power. When you're telling what to do, you're in charge. I don't like that. That's not quite how the sponsor-sponsee relationship goes. I tell all my sponsees nowadays, like, hey, you're free to do whatever you want. I just suggest you do a few simple things. And chasing after more than one person at a time, that's like a managerial term called sunk cost fallacy. And I'll end with that buzzword. Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler. Lazy perfectionist. I'm going to remember that one. That fits. Anyway, it can be, for me, it's, you know, it can be difficult to watch somebody struggle. It really is. And yeah, that hadn't gotten that much easier over time. I understand it happens, and you know, there's nothing I like better. Well, there's a lot of things I like as much, I guess, as seeing somebody come back from a relapse. You know, it makes me happy to see somebody come back. I don't know if I could do that. You know, I do know that if I have one drink, it's all off. You know, I was never a couple of drinks kind of guy, but you know, and for a long time, I asked that I loved people I'd worked with, you know, and had gone steps and, you know, and went out. And you know, I would ask, why me? I don't do that anymore. You know, I'm just grateful that me is still sober. You know, I'm not a guy, I may have said this, but I'm not a guy that can say, go out and have a couple drinks, see how that works. I'd rather, you know, I'm just not going to do that. That's too much responsibility for me, because that can be tragic. But I'd rather, you know, they make a pass through the steps. And I obviously try to be an example of what the steps can have done for me. And I do know that I needed every drink I took, though. And and this passage kind of says we don't want to deprive them of that. But again, I'm not going to tell them. I just can't do that. God's in charge of all that. You know, I just try to stay willing to help when I can, and welcome them back with open arms. Yeah, hopefully that they make it back. Thank you all again. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dave. All right. Well, that will end the reading and sharing for this evening. In a few minutes, everybody will have a chance to thank our panelists tonight. This time, we'll put up the QR codes for the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. I'm putting it up. There it is. All right. Contributions go to paying church rent, things like coffee, supplies, more literature, go to the intergroup office, district, area, and GSO. And I've also posted the links in the chat. And you can also sign up for our emails at simpleactions.net. That's in the chat as well. Our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm an alcoholic named David.
Hey, David.
Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober tonight. Tyler, David, Simple Actions Group, thank everybody for pivoting and pulling a meeting together here tonight. I want you guys to know that people came here tonight looking for something, and I want you to know that people found something here tonight. The announcement, and I love you all so much. The announcement that I have is that this home group, 2 weeks from tonight, is having a supper and a speaker. It's going to be at the Get United Methodist Church here in person. Hopefully we'll have electricity. 6 p.m. there'll be a potluck. Please bring a dish if you wish. 6 p.m. we'll have dinner. And then at 7 p.m. we've got Angie M. coming all the way from Tobaccoville, North Carolina. And, she's an amazing speaker. She's got an amazing story. It's going to be a real treat. So that's 2 weeks from tonight, September 11th, 6 p.m. potluck, 7 o'clock speaker. All are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Tyler?
How did Tyler Alcoholic keep this very brief? Saturday, September 9th at noon in Virginia Beach. I have the address. I'll pull it up later. The Virginia State Conference of Young People in AA is hosting a kickball tournament. So if you want to kick some balls, kick that kickballs, you know, we'll be doing that. It's going to be a great time. Also, the Virginia State, the Viscipoc Conference itself is going to be October 27th in Virginia Beach at the Oceanfront. Same hotel, the Wyndham, as the Oceanfront Conference. October 27th to the 29th. Halloween weekend. It's going to be awesome. That's all I got. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Tyler. Any other announcements?
Yeah, Alfred Alcoholic.
Hey, Alfred.
Hey, the Shoulder to Shoulder group, we meet in Yorktown. We're having our 14th anniversary dinner on September the 16th. We're having a dinner and a speaker, and we're going to be having burgers and hot dogs and grilling at 5:30, eating until about 6 or 7-ish, and then we'll have the speaker, and then we'll clean up and have a good time. But come out and celebrate with us. I can try to get a flyer over there, but it's up in the hamlet of Yorktown at Grace Episcopal Church, 111 Church Street.
All right, great. And what's the name of your meeting one more time?
Shoulder to Shoulder group.
Shoulder to Shoulder. Awesome. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
I got another quick one. Sorry.
Go for it, buddy.
Yeah. We're not going to Cafe Stella. We're going to Plaza del Sol. Plaza del Sol.
All right. You heard it right there, folks. The official, unofficial Simple Actions meeting after the meeting, Plaza del Sol over off, 22nd Street. All right. Sponsorship question. I'm sorry, Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining this group, and joining our home group, or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. Typically, we have literature available. That's when we're in person. Hard to hand out literature over Zoom. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're real shy, info@simpleactions.net. Bottom line is get a sponsor. All right, already did the meeting after the meeting. Everybody should be able to unmute now. Ask everybody at this time to please thank the panel for sharing.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much, Tyler.
Whoop, whoop. Really appreciate it. Tyler and Dave, both of you jumping on Zoom and helping make this work for this out of power Monday evening. Again, you're not.
Thanks, everybody, for pivoting.
That was an episode of the Twilight Zone.
That's right. All right. And let me put up a vision for you. Debbie D, I believe you're going to still read that for me. Let me get that bad boy up on the screen.
I actually have a book. I'm good. I'm an alcoholic.
Go for it, sister.
And Dave H. put a thing about New Day's Picnic in the chat if you want to check that out since we missed him on the announcements. And I want to thank everybody for just swelling my heart right up tonight, seeing all these faces I haven't seen in so long. So now let me do what you asked me to do. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Debbie D., thank you so much. All right, and at this time, we'll close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Who keeps us sober?
Our Father. Who art in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Whoop, whoop, my hero gave it all.
I love that. That was awesome.